It's from Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. Come on, Chris.
Good morning. Our reading today is found in Philippians 2, verses 1 to 11, and it may be followed on page 1114 of the Pew Bibles. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Thanks be to God for his holy word.
Thanks, Chris. Okay. Well, it's September and it's too warm. I'm feeling miserable. Yeah, I'm not really. Isn't it warm? It's nice, isn't it? It's nice. But I'm feeling a bit warm, so forgive me. Now, let me tell you something. 9 years ago, give or take of, you know, a few months, 9 years ago, I left ministry. 9 years ago, I left ministry, and I've never gone back. 9 years ago, I left the ministry, and I have never gone back. And the reason I left was I came to this realization one particular morning as I was waiting for the man to come and fix the gutters in the church, that I came to that realization that I had actually become more focused on ministry and this thing called the church than I had on Jesus Christ and being his follower. And so I left the ministry, quite literally. I laid it all down, I wrote out my letter, I sent it off, and then they were like, what? And I was like, yeah, I'm leaving because there's something major got out of balance in my life somehow. Somehow, this whole adventure in following Jesus has become about following the church and doing churchy things. And it's not that I had a problem per se in serving. I don't have a problem in serving. Isn't it good fun to wait for the man to come and fix the gutters? I mean, there's great blessing in that. I mean, all the multitudinous opportunities you have to wait on people to come and do stuff when you're not just the preacher, you're not just the pastor, but you're the caretaker and you're mopping the floors and you're doing all this. Nothing wrong with serving. But it's very, very possible to find yourself in a place where all of your service becomes much more about this thing called the church than it is about Jesus. And I recognized that what had happened, I might have told you this before, I recognized that what had happened to me in serving in that particular way is that I had become institutionalized. Everything that I had came from the people that were employing me to do this thing. Every single waking moment was filled with doing the thing for that particular church. And to the extent that I was starting to think that I actually was the church. You know, I used to get some mail, and it was really funny. I used to get some mail, and it would be sent to, because they didn't have a name to send it to, it would be sent to Mr. Salvation Army. I thought that was fantastic. I had become the Salvation Army. I even had someone phone up one day and says, is this the Salvation Army? I said, yes, it is the Salvation Army. And he said, would you consider selling the business? And I said, well, I would consider selling it, but I think you might have to speak to some other people. You just become this thing. And in the process, my vision for Jesus disappeared. It got to the stage, and he's sitting over there, it got to the stage at one point where, you know, Ben, you're going to become an illustration, Ben, is that all right? There was one particular day when I was doing busy things, you know, churchy things, and Ben was in the background, and he said, Dad, and then he said, Captain, and I was like, yes, and I thought, what is going on here? What is going on? You may have different stories to me, that's my experience, but you might be able to identify times when your following of Jesus becomes a completely different thing. It becomes a completely different thing. Your whole church business, it becomes a thing that you do because at this time in the Sunday morning, on the whole, this is the thing you do. Or that group that you go to through the week, well, you go there because, well, you must be a part of the home group and you must be there to support the home group and do the home group and home group. And then you might be one of those that visit people and do some things in the church. Well, you do this because, well, that's an important thing to do. And you do it. And then what happens is it's so easy to become the task. It's so easy to become the task of the church and not be the church of Jesus Christ. It's so easy to do all the doing and forget all about the being. So 9 years ago, I left ministry and I have never gone back. And I have vowed that I will never go back to ministry. Instead, what I'll do is I'll serve the church while being a follower of Jesus. And there's a world of a difference. There's a world of a difference. And it's a good place to be, folks. It's a good place to be. How easy is it for our Christian life to become this thing that becomes so weary and drudgery? But yet, we confuse that with the excitement and the joy and the privilege and the passion that comes from following Jesus. And you've got my permission this morning. Look, give up being church. Give up doing the church thing. If it means that you can follow Jesus better by going somewhere else or doing something different, then go and do it because it's important. There's nothing more important than being a follower of Jesus and making sure that your relationship is right there, that making sure that your connection is right there. And you see, when you've got that relationship fundamentally, absolutely in place, then you will find that your desire to be with the people of God is overwhelming. It becomes almost as precious as the desire to be with God Himself. When your relationship is right in that place, when you are in that good place of connection with Jesus, you'll rediscover afresh that desire to be with His people, and there's nothing quite like it. You know, one of the real things that gives me joy, I mean, you might not know that I experience joy on a Sunday morning, when I'm mourning about the weather and goodness knows what else. But one of the joys that is mine most Sundays is to be able to stand here and just look at you. Do you know something? It is a real joy. I mean, look at you. You know, you're glorious and you're confusing and you're all over the place and you're all together and you're all where some are different and you're all right and you're all wrong and you're all sorts of things all at once. And we are this amazing people of God that He's doing a thing with. You know, we've got our broken bits and our beautifully healed bits and restored bits, and it's all coming together in Christ. And that's a long, long-winded way to get into this passage that we're talking about today, because here we discover, it's almost like, you know that button on things that you press where it just resets the whole thing? You know, that is a very useful button to find. Sometimes it's quite hard. You have to get a little bit of a needle and give it a, you know, a little bit of a, you know, but that reset button, you know, if it doesn't work, just turn it off. Turn it off for a bit. Wait a few minutes, then turn it back on. It applies to everything. It's a spiritual principle. It applies to our own lives. Turn yourself off. Turn yourself off. Leave yourself to lay fallow a little while and then open yourself up. Church, turn yourself off. Just stop it. Come aside. Refocus. And here's this beautiful passage that Paul writes to the church in Philippi. The thing is, we never graduate from Jesus. It's very tempting to think that once we've done Sunday school, you know, once we've done all the Sunday school years and we've done all the youth group years, and then we've done all the house groups that you could ever bear with in one particular lifetime, and you come to church every Sunday, you think eventually, when you get to the ripe old age of some of you, that you graduate from Jesus somehow, that you move beyond him. But the very fact is the opposite. We never graduate from Jesus. And this passage is an invitation to have a look at him again. And we find in him not just an example of this person of Jesus, but we find in him the very pattern for our life. And we see in this passage that Jesus invites us into this way of life, and it expresses itself in a number of ways. And the first thing about this life of Jesus is that it is relational. Have a look at that passage again. It might be helpful just to have it open, because I'm not going to read all the words, but you might just want to be able to see it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Jesus starts out talking about relationships. He starts out talking about relationships. He's saying, actually, your relationship with me is going to transform all the relationships you have with one another. And you know something? That's the biggest place we need Jesus. Do you have those people in your life that just annoy you? Yeah? And it may just be that you are the person that is just the ultimate frustration for somebody else. And I hope that I am the ultimate frustration for some of you. That's a good sign of healthy community, Dave, isn't it?
Yeah.
The biggest area we need help is in relationships. And I know what you're thinking. It's hard. And it's not easy to sort of, when you've got something against somebody, to actually just go and speak to them. You know, get it out there. Have it out there. And to keep those relationships pure, because we find in these four verses, it's about changing our thoughts from our own selfish point of view and keeping our own grudges and our own thoughts, but actually turning them around and be looking to make peace and being united and being one and being family and not allowing this friction thing to go. There's people in this room that I know you've got something you need to say to me, or you've got something you need to go and say to somebody else. You can feel it in the room sometimes. And the invitation is, for the sake of unity and for the sake of coming together, of having like mind, for the sake of Christ, is to get it sorted out. So coffee this morning is going to be an absolute nightmare. Because we're going to have to do it, folks. Come on. If I don't have a cue at me, you know, I'm going to be upset. What is it that Paul says there? If you have any encouragement for being, if this Christian thing means anything to you at all, if you have any comfort from his love, if any common sharing, if there's anything between you and the Spirit at all, if any tenderness and compassion is in you, Paul says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. Okay, so it's as practical as this. Don't talk about people behind their backs. It's hard, isn't it? Don't people annoy you? But have the conversation. Have the conversation. Don't let anything come in the way of the beautiful unity that is there for the people of God. Don't let anything come in the way. Have you ever gone into a room? It's a common experience with pastors, which is why I left the ministry 9 years ago. Have you ever walked into a room And then all of a sudden, you sort of, it goes quiet. And then you start talking about the weather. Isn't it glorious weather today? Isn't it really warm for September? Isn't it, John? Lovely for September, not Celtic at all. I mean, let's go away and have some rain, brother. It's amazing. But 2 seconds ago, John might have been getting on at that. Oh, see that. You've all experienced that, haven't you? But it's here's this invitation. Fixing our minds on Jesus isn't just so that we have this idea of a Savior somewhere else. It's so that by his example and by looking to him, we might be able to get a right perspective of what's going on here, that God is calling us, and he's calling us to be family, and he's calling to be one, he's calling us to be united, he's calling us to love. Friends, let's not let the love slip out. Let's not let it slip out. Let's follow the example of Jesus. Be one-minded. Be one-focused. Make sure that value of Christ's mind is ahead of us all the time. We have to be about others, valuing others, preferring others, laying our priorities aside, getting it there. Isn't that just one of the most challenging things about the Christian message? We're invited to be relational in our following of Jesus. Secondly, verse 6-8, have a wee look. This the beginning of this beautiful hymn, this beautiful poem. And we see here signs that to follow Jesus is to be, I've made this word up, but imitational. You see, Jesus comes to us, and he lays aside all the things you would assume to be godliness, but he comes in that spirit of submission to his Father, and he's looking to do all the things that his Father wants him to do. Have the same mind of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature with God, didn't consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but rather he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even on a cross. You see, God, in the giving of the whole of creation, the whole of life, is followed by Jesus, who comes and gives the whole of his life and lays it all down for the sake of others. And we're invited into this. And you have to pray, oh, to be like Jesus. Oh, that my life somehow would look something like his. Back in 1998, which just seems like a long time away, doesn't it? Before some of you were born, some of you. I was in Bible college at the time, unlearning how to read the Bible at Bible college. And we were on placement at this little church just outside Glasgow. And it was three old ladies and a blind dog. And Jimmy. And Jimmy was a lovely little man. He was rather disheveled. He was about this height. He was a very small man. He was a bit unkempt, and he'd always managed to have a few before the service in the morning. And every single time Jimmy would come in, and he came quite often. It was amazing how regular he was. He was more regular than some of you. But he came in every week. And it got to that time where in the service at this particular church, there was a sharing time. Now, isn't that your worst nightmare? But a time in the service where someone could share a testimony, or they could pray, or they could share a passage of scripture, or they could say, let's sing something. And every time Jimmy would come, he would say, let's sing 107. 107, please, let's sing 107. And 107 was a little chorus, and it started like, to be like Jesus, this hope possesses me. In every thought and creed, this is my aim, my creed, to be like Jesus, this hope possesses me. His Spirit helping me, like him I'll be. And it was the one point in the week where Jimmy actually was like Jesus. He became just that sign from God, that in his poverty, in his nothing, in the chaos of his life, somehow there was that desire to imitate Jesus. And I don't know where that came from in him, but he wanted to sing that every single time, and we never got fed up singing it, because that was Jimmy's life prayer, to be like Jesus. And It was hard for him. It was hard for him, the things that he was dealing with, but it was his prayer. I wonder how much for us who in many ways can give a good appearance of having everything together. Have you got everything together this morning? You all look as if you've got everything together. I even put my waistcoat on this morning just to give you the impression that I've got it all together. You know, do we possess that one single focus intention to be like Jesus? And not to be some other thing. Not to be gods of our own world, not to lord it over. You see, Jesus, when he came and he chose the path of submission to his Father. And that path was costly. It was costly. Not only at the end, at the cross, when it was the act of ultimate self-giving, but even in the day today, submitting all his majesty, all his glory, to the will of the Father. Imagine being, you can't imagine this, but I'm going to ask you to imagine it. Imagine existing before all time, being in the eternity of the thing which is God, being pre-existent, being glorious, being part of the Trinity community, and then the experience of being a bog-standard human being. Bog-standard human being. All the privilege of the Godhood just emptied, poured out. And Jesus, pre-existing Christ, having to be the one who gets up early in the morning and check in with the Father just to find out what we're supposed to be doing today. What are we doing today, Father? What are we doing today? And that obedience, taking him all the way through his ministry, all the way through his life, all the way through his ministry, all the way to the cross, all the way to the grave, all the way through resurrection, and all the way back to glory where God raised him up. That's obedience. That's obedience. What does our obedience look like in our lives? Are we too full of our own sense of being our own gods, being the masters of our own destiny, the makers of our own choices? Or are we following in the example of Jesus, whose desire was to imitate the Father, who sent the Spirit so that we can imitate the Son? And actually, we're supposed to be that for one another. One of the most spectacular claims that Paul, the Apostle Paul, makes to one of the churches is, he says to them, look, follow me as I follow Christ. I mean, he was even willing to say, look, I will be an example to you among you of following Jesus. Could you say that to your friend next to you? You know, if you want to know a little bit about following Jesus, then look at some of the things that I do. That's pretty high up there, isn't it? It's pretty high up there. But the glorious thing about the New Testament is it's full of examples of how not to follow Jesus and how to follow Jesus. Peter is a perfect example. Doing it absolutely right at one moment, but then making it spectacularly wrong at the next. But it's having that place of saying, actually, look at me and learn from my mistakes. Oh, learn from my mistakes. But maybe there's something we can teach each other in this process. So following Jesus is relational. It's about getting the relationships right. It's about coming to that one mind and one heart. And that's particularly important as we come to the table. Particularly important that we come with one heart and one mind to share together. It's imitation. We're looking to imitate Jesus at every turn. Look at what he said. Look at what he did. Imitate everything. Look at giving our lives away. And then finally, there is something to be declared. Following Jesus is always about the good news of God. You'll notice at the end of that passage in verses 9 and 11, we have that climax as it's built. It says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. By his obedience, Jesus becomes the good news of God that will be declared to all the nations, either now or on that day. And we are invited into that task in proclaiming the risen one, proclaiming the exalted one, proclaiming the one who came from God, who was humbled, who was obedient, who rose again from the dead, and who now sits at the right hand of the Father. This makes all the difference in the world. And as part of following Jesus, we have to live this truth. It's living as if Jesus was Lord. living as if he was ascended to the Father, living as if right now, through the connection that we can have with Jesus, that our prayers, our thoughts, our intentions can be presented to God, and that God will hear them. And somehow, by some mystery, the thoughts and intentions of our lives and our hearts will be melded into the whole wisdom and plan and destiny that God has for this people. This is an invitation to be on mission. It's an invitation to be lifting up this name at every opportunity, to be saying and declaring by our thinking, by our living, by everything, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And keeping that song in our hearts at every time. Jesus displays the ultimate servant leadership, the ultimate imitation of the Father, and becomes the very good news of God. In his pattern, we are invited to become servants of all, an imitation of Jesus, a declaration of good news. It's as our relationships are changed, it's as our imitation of Christ speaks loudly that we become lights for God, a display of his splendor. Listen to what Paul says in conclusion in verse 14 to 17. He carries on similar things, but he says, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith. I am glad and rejoice with all of you. We are to shine like stars. We are ourselves to be poured out and to become an offering to the world, and one which brings pleasure to the very heart of God. To be like Jesus, this hope possesses me. In every thought and deed, this is my aim, my creed. To be like Jesus, this hope possesses me. His Spirit helping me, like him I'll be. I don't know if Jimmy's still around. Haven't been up those part of the woods for a long time. I'd love to still think that he's still singing it, and that as the years have gone by, he's just become a little bit more like Jesus. He's gone through that process of changing from one shade of glory to the next. Or how even glorious to think that he now sits beside his Father singing that song as he's been perfected and purified and glorified by being in the presence of God. Let this possess us, folks. Let it possess us to be like Jesus. He is our pattern. He is our Lord, our friend, and our guide. We pray that he might be the center, that he might be our all in all. We're going to sing together as we prepare to come around this table of unity, of imitation, of mission as followers of Jesus. Jesus, be the center. We stand to sing.